could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be?
Everybody. Oh, it's so good to have you back with me on the Pastor's Podcast. Thank you for joining me for another edition of the series of Advent meditations. We've looked, first of all, at John the Baptist as being the forerunner of Messiah. We can't forget his role in the Advent story. And today, I'd like for us to consider the life of Joseph. He's that, shall we say, shadowy figure at the manger. There's not a lot written about him, but there's enough to make him vital to the gospel story. In fact, as I'll state later on, it may just be that Joseph, the husband of Mary and the earthly father of Messiah, it may just be that this Joseph resembles Christ more than any other character in the Nativity story. And so today, as we consider the story of Joseph and his place in the Christmas narrative, I want us to see that he is both just and merciful. So today's meditation is Joseph, the just and merciful. Marriage is no easy matter. And sometimes, even in pre-marriage, things can get a bit dicey too. No doubt you've heard of the bride leaving the groom at the altar, realizing at the last moment she's a better fit for the best man. Or the bride sadly waiting at the altar for her groom, who was a no-show because of a bad case of cold feet. At times, though rare, premarital counseling can reveal that the impending nuptials between man and woman reveal that they're not exactly a match made in heaven. Better then than later, I say. Well, anyway, speaking of marriage, the Old Testament record opens with a scandalous marriage whose fallout damned every last offspring of the original couple, Adam and Eve, ever in the history of all mankind. Wow, that's some scandalous marriage. And then consider this. The New Testament record also opens with a scandalous marriage between a pregnant bride and her unsuspecting spouse. And the child wasn't even his biological offspring. But that offspring would save mankind. Today, I'd like to spend some time looking at Joseph, the shadowy figure, shall we say, in the nativity scene. I once heard of a church Christmas play where the mother of the boy who was to play the part of Joseph had to call the director on the day of the performance to say that her son was sick and unable to play his role that night. The director had to do a quick rewrite of the script, taking out Joseph's part completely. And nobody that night in the audience even thought to ask, "Oh, where was Mary's husband?" In most Christmas productions, Joseph is pretty much downplayed. He has no speaking part, usually, and no solo. Well, thank you, Michael Card, the music that led us into this podcast today. His song, Joseph's Song, rectifies that situation. But you won't find too many songs about Joseph anywhere else. It's pretty much Mary's gig, and the songs are mostly about her and her baby. Jesus himself never talks about Joseph during his public years of record. He did say once or twice his only reason for living inside human skin was to do the will of and please his Father. His heavenly Father, that is. And then the genealogy of Matthew gives barely more than a nod to the boy's earthly dad. Joseph is little more than a blurry image. He's pretty much little more than a faceless carving of darkened wood that you might have in your home's nativity set. When the listing of fathers begetting their sons arrives at the family of Advent in Matthew's record, the language switches to favor the mom. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ." The "of whom" there in the original Greek is the feminine, which is pointing to Mary, not Joseph. As if Mary did the deed all by her lonesome. "Hey, Joe, just stand over here. Out of the spotlight. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You're pretty much of an extra. You know, Mary's immaculate, and you're, well, you're kind of immaterial." Of course not. Joseph, in truth, was not an afterthought, or an extra in a play, or husband number three in the end credits. Matthew makes certain we know just what he means to the redemptive story. And I assure you, it is significant. So let me turn to Matthew chapter 1 and read this portion of Scripture, verses 18 through 25, that gives us a little glimpse, or perhaps maybe more than just a little glimpse, into this man Joseph, who was both just and merciful. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not. until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Great text. Matthew calls him a just man. The word in the original is righteous, which applies to anyone who conformed their human will to God's revealed will without question. Matthew will also go out of his way to tell his readers how kind Joseph was in the handling of his pregnant espoused, with an intimate sequence shared nowhere else in Scripture. So, we learn this from the opening gospel, these two vital narratives about this so-called shadowy figure. We find out, A, he's just, and B, he's merciful. Sound familiar? You bet it does. Like father, like son. We don't know how long Joseph remained on earth after the birth narrative. There's no scriptural sense of him after the Lucan account of the boyhood Jesus being left behind in Jerusalem at the close of Passover. Even still, the peace-filled ceremonial picture of the manger scene wouldn't even be possible without the just and merciful Joseph. Let me add here, very quickly, to say that you, listener, you too, are vital to the story of God and redemption. You're not an extra. You're not a number or a faceless entity in the economy of grace. Let me put it to you this way. If you share your faith with one person in your entire lifetime, and that person finds faith in Christ to believe on him for salvation, you've increased the kingdom population. If you are faithfully parenting to bring about faith in your children, or living as Christ among the faithless at your place of employment, you're impacting territory with the life-giving power of the kingdom. Oh, yes. Please, friend, the story is made better with you in it. This man, Joseph, he's not shadowy. He's not blurry. He's not insignificant. He's not an afterthought. He's not an extra. The Bible refers to him as just and shows how merciful he was. How then was he just? How then was Joseph merciful? Well, just put yourself in his sandals for a moment. Imagine this. His betrothed comes to him and tells him she wants to visit her Aunt Elizabeth for a few months. What she doesn't tell him is that she's heard some baffling news from an angel. She tells Joseph, more than likely, this conversation is not written in the biblical record. We can imagine she tells him she's merely going for a visit. But secretly, she needs Elizabeth to help her process what has just happened to her. And by the way, Elizabeth has some of her own news as well. Well, Joseph looks at it all as a great opportunity. He has a lot to do in getting ready for their wedding day. Perhaps the bridal chamber will be fixed and ready when she returns. And 6 months later, Mary returns. And she's showing. And Joseph knows that bulge in her belly is a baby. And he knows that that baby is most definitely not his own. So now what? Oh my. What did this righteous man do to prove both his being just and merciful? Well, we know that he responded with three very grace-soaked feats of gargantuan latitude. Firstly, In those days, there were two acceptable routes of divorce, depending on which rabbinical train of thought you followed, whether it be Hillel or Shammai. Joseph evidently chose the less severe, Hillel, which required no public proceeding for a divorce. Even before he received his angelic visitation, Joseph intended to make the ordeal as easy as possible on Mary, with no desire whatsoever to shame her out in the open or otherwise. Secondly, if Joseph, and he could have, if he had gone to his rabbi with proof of Mary's pregnancy, here she is, we've not consummated the marriage, and rabbi, look at her belly. Well, he would have been excused from paying her dowry. By handling it all secretly, with no rabbinical arbitration, Joseph had no intention of rightfully reclaiming the bridal price from her father. Oh my. This kindness would have been unheard of in its time. But that's not all. Thirdly, Joseph risked all public humiliation on himself by shielding his betrothed from any of it. Let me explain. The law demanded that Joseph give his adulterous bride, I say adulterous, putting little air quotes around it, the law demanded he give her a writ of divorcement. To not do so when she was, again air quoting, guilty, and certainly she would have been guilty in the eyes of a human court, to not give her a writ of divorcement would be tantamount to our, in our day, withholding valid evidence from the authorities in a capital crimes case. By not giving her such an official certificate, he ensured she would not be openly and judiciously scorned and humiliated. It's almost as if it never happened, and instead, he put himself, by doing it all secretly, with no rabbinical arbitration, by doing it all secretly, he put himself in the predicament of being seen as a man who had abandoned his pregnant bride without cause. He risked his own reputation. Amazing, right? Mind you, and don't forget this, Joseph was even going to do all of this before he received his own angelic visitation to explain to him what was going on. That's how just and merciful this man was. And this is why Joseph has such a meaningful place in the good news of Advent. He did the just thing by showing mercy to the quote-unquote guilty one, and he took the punishment and humiliation upon himself. It might just be that Joseph is more like Jesus than anyone else in the Nativity story. And his little boy grew up knowing that his daddy did all that for his mama, and that he himself would go on and do the exact same thing, acting justly, but mercifully. But he would do it on a far more cosmic scale. And that's why I say, like Father, like Son. Wow, what a story. Let's give thanks this season for this beautiful remembrance of the gospel narrative that reminds us that Jesus himself, the ultimate just one and merciful one, though the guilty could not go free, Jesus made himself the guilty one. He took upon himself our humiliation, our punishment, that we might have faith and believe on him for salvation and have access to holy God. I pray and trust your Advent season will be made even more meaningful. And if these brief vignettes through the podcasts help even just a little, then I praise God for it. Next week, we're going to look at beautiful Mary and consider her wonderful place in the gospel redemption story. Until then, again, I'm Scott Mitchell. You can find me on my blog at pastorscott.org or write me at scott@pastorscott.com. I'd love to hear from you. And until then, I pray your week will be filled with all the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ and that the peace and comfort of Advent will be yours and your home and your family. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. God bless.